And action-adventure writers are going to be sorely disappointed with the results of a 3-year radar study of the tomb of child pharaoh King Tutankhamun. The study, a joint effort of the National Geographic Society and the University of Turin, has concluded that there are no hidden chambers inside Tutankhamun's tomb. This contradicts a 2015 scan of the tomb, which suggested that there were, in fact, extra hidden chambers potentially holding other members of King Tut's family. But here to discuss the significance of this find is Colin Hope, a senior research adjunct at the Center for Ancient Cultures at Monash University and leader of their excavations in Egypt, where he's worked for 50 years. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Professor Hope.
You're welcome.
So what were archaeologists hoping to find in King Tut's tomb? What were they looking for?
Well, I think there's two things. First of all, it was suggested that there might be other chambers behind the current walls, and therefore that in itself would be interesting. But then there was speculation on if there were chambers, was it an earlier tomb, and might it actually contain the burials of other members of the royal family? And of course, the suggestion that was put forward was that it might be Tutankhamun's mother, the person we now believe was his mother, Queen Nefertiti, a very, very famous person in the history of Egypt at the time.
So why was Nefertiti such an important member of, you know, someone that they're so interested in?
Well, because along with her husband, King Akhenaten, they undertook major revisions of ancient Egyptian religion. Some scholars originally presented this as the first attempts to introduce monotheism into Egypt. We know that's not the case, but they certainly overhauled the religious system, and in doing this, it really strengthened the position of the king, who was really seen then as the only earthly representative of the creative forces of the universe on Earth. And Nefertiti was a part of this. She was given supreme position. She was regularly shown on her own without the king, which is exceptional in Egypt. And it's likely that she also became co-regent and so acquired the status of monarch in her own right, which again is exceptional for women.
So the results of the study saying that no, there's no hidden chambers, kind of dash this hope of, you know, finding these relatives kind of conveniently located.
Yes, exactly. And in fact, there was much skepticism about this originally. First of all, as to whether what was shown in the earlier study really just meant it represented small cavities. What did it really represent?
And
the tomb was very hastily cut and then finished. And so it was likely that there would be structural problems with it. And of course, then the suggestion that it was Nefertiti was, I think, really hopeful.
Yeah.
There's evidence that she was likely buried elsewhere. But some objects that were made for her burial were certainly reused in Tutankhamun's tomb. And so there was much speculation and, let's say, hope in terms of what might turn up.
So you say that, Colin, that there, you know, structural instabilities and so forth because it was pretty hastily finished. How many hidden chambers were actually purposely built into Egyptian tombs?
None that we know of.
Despite all the lore and fiction surrounding it.
No, so there's none. I mean, what actually happens, particularly in the Valley of the Kings, is that these tombs are mostly quite massive, and often in the course of cutting them, they might interrupt an earlier tomb. And then you have some problems there. But because of the length of these tombs, and also the rock into which they're cut is not the most stable, and so there are inevitably problems. But this idea of hidden chambers, such as in the pyramids or under the Sphinx, is very much modern fantasy.
And how much,
as we know.
So you talk about people, you know, hopeful for Nefertiti's remains. Is that one of the major goals of sort of Egyptian archaeology right now? What are they mostly focused on looking for these days?
Well, not so much Nefertiti, because all the evidence seems to point to the fact that she was buried elsewhere and the tomb was desecrated. But there's various things happening, because For a long period of time in the history of Egypt, the focus was on temples and tombs, because the temples are elaborately decorated and tell us about Egyptian religion. The tombs give us a great insight into funerary beliefs and, of course, often yield a lot of wonderful objects. But one of the major foci these days is actually on the settlements where the Egyptians lived, so we can get a better idea of what it was like to live in ancient Egypt in terms of the physical environment, the daily life activities of these people.
And with modern technology, obviously, like the, you know, the radar that they used in this particular study, how much remains left unexplored when it comes to treasures and secrets of ancient Egypt?
Well, I think, I don't know about treasures, that's always a problem. but in terms of working out archaeological remains, enormous amounts, because most of the ancient sites we've looked at, only parts of them have been excavated, and we'll never have the resources to excavate them fully. And so using things like magnetometer surveys, we can actually work out the plans of these ancient cities, their size and the nature of the buildings, without actually removing any of the surface remains. And this is revealing an enormous amount of information on the elaboration of ancient settlements and their size, etc.
Absolutely. May I ask some of the work that you've been doing recently, potentially, or overseeing in Egypt?
Yes, well, I've been there for a long time, as you mentioned. Currently, I'm working in the Egyptian Sahara, so about 500 kilometers into the desert, in one of the oases there. And I, since 1986, I've been excavating a Roman city, a village rather, which is buried in sand, and it's buried to such an extent that we'll work it walking on the tops of the roofs of houses.
Wow.
So we have intact houses full of objects. We've got some of the oldest books, huge archives of letters, magnificent objects from daily life, pet glass, gold rings, really quite spectacular finds. And then I've started to excavate what was the largest temple complex in that region, dedicated to a god of confusion called
Seth. A god of confusion?
Yes. He's often thought to be a god of chaos, but it's more like confusion. And he's very famous in the Egyptian pantheon, and it was thought that at a certain period of time his cult was forbidden. But the archaeological material I'm turning up shows that he continued to be venerated in the desert regions, and he was god of storms and gold mining regions, this sort of thing.
And misplacing your keys on, you know, before, when you have to leave the house.
Pardon?
And misplacing your keys when you have to leave the house, and other confusions.
Yes. So we've got the remains of his temple complex with lots and lots of inscribed material coming out of that.
So, Colin, this kind of stuff commands, even today, a huge fascination and interest amongst people. Why are people so interested in these things like King Tut's tomb and all these temple complexes? Why do people love them so much?
Well, I think partly it's there's a fantastic element about it. People tend to think, well, some of these temples were built 3,000, 4,000 years ago. King Tut himself was buried about 3,500 years ago. And people somehow don't seem to realize these people were modern men. Mm. And they had all the possibilities, but just not the technological gadgets that we're used to and equipment that we're used to today. And so they look back at pyramids and temples in awe as to how they could have been done. But the point is, they're absolutely fantastic structures. They're very impressive. Mm. And so there is that sense of human achievement. But with Tut's tomb, it's the quantity of material that was buried with him and the exquisite nature of most of this material.
All right.
And of course, so much of it was gold.
Yeah, well, thank you.
The greatest discovery of that type that's ever been made.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning to talk about it. It's very interesting stuff. Thanks very much.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Colin Hope, Senior Research Adjunct at the Center for Ancient Cultures in Monash University and in charge of their excavations in Egypt, where he's worked for 50 years. Pretty crazy stuff going on over there. And in fact, about 5,000 items or so have been taken from King Tut's tomb into a museum that is being built right now in Egypt, a grand museum near Giza that is under construction and will hold a lot of the Egyptian treasures and artifacts that have been found.